Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. Nobody has to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Yeah.
Trying to usher in the Spirit of God. We need Jesus to engulf us as we go through this Bible study, because through the Spirit, knowledge will be unfolded. And because we're doing the book of Hebrews, or the Epistle of Hebrews, it is definitely one of those books that is written for the Hebrews to understand, but also for the Gentiles to get a better understanding of the process which the Hebrews had to go through. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be an awesome night tonight, and we'll continue to go on. We'll begin with a prayer. Heavenly Lord, Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for giving us this opportunity. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the ability to be in our right minds right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you that we get the decrease as you get the increase, and our spirit overfloweth with love and compassion and open minds and open hearts, oh God, that we may be able to receive the knowledge, not only to receive it, but to put it in our hearts and treasure it and lock it away for the time when the evil has come, we can use it in order to fight against the evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, who at sundry times and in divers A letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the King James version of this lecture Bible study. So if you got your Bibles out, that's where we're at. In this first letter, in the first chapter, Jesus is laying out a picture to you of a hierarchy of the beginning of the making of the world. Now, we know when in John he said, I was one with the one who created the world. When Jesus came down to earth to begin his human walk, it was made known to the angels exactly who Jesus was and what his mission was. But they did not know the outcome. Only the Father knew whom Jesus is. Now, I've said this before. A lot of people have their own beliefs of how things work. I'm apostolic, so I believe in the one, and I believe that God is Jesus, and so I'm going to speak as such. So as Jesus descended from heaven to earth and became human, his flesh was able to abide and be part human to understand the conflictions that humans have to go through. And in this epistle right here, in this first one, he goes and he is telling the angels, the author is telling the angels that you must understand who Jesus is. Now, you could say some of the angels did not agree, but they never said if they agreed or not. But this could be the beginning of the breakthrough of why Satan was very upset. Maybe he did not want to bow down. I'm throwing that out. I'm not saying this is factual. He didn't want to bow down to Jesus because they are made perfect. But who is more perfect than Jesus? Because we all know the end of the story.
Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will? For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him.
Okay, so in the second chapter, We see the hierarchy being questioned. We see that the angels are saying, okay, well, who are these beings? In verse 5, it says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection of the world to come, whereof we speak. 6, but one in certain place testified, saying, what is man? So my question is this, ladies and gentlemen. He says, this person says, I'm assuming it's an angel. I'm just going to say assume. But one in a certain place testified, saying, so we can understand one in a certain place, meaning the angel was asking, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So the angels asking God, or asking Jesus, who are these humans? And why are you so thoughtful of this man, of these creatures? Are the Son of Man that visits him? Jesus who goes down. You see? So you can see, I would debate to say that Satan is asking this question because we've known that his jealousy of human and the ability of what God has his love for abides in this question. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visit him? Verse 7, thought mine mate is him a little lower than the angels. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand what this angel is saying, because it is very important. He said, you have made it him a little lower than an angel. So what he is saying, ladies and gentlemen, is we have power. My spirit is rolling right now. You do not understand the meat, the substance in that one verse. He says, thus made it him a little lower than the angels, thus crowned him with glory and honored, and do it set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he puts all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're asking, what does that mean? Well, remember when God was making the earth, when Jesus was making the earth, and he was making the creatures, and he made man, he told us that we have rule over all the things in the air, all the things in the sea, all the cattle. You remember that, right? In Genesis. So that is what the angel is asking. He says, listen, you have given him everything. But now, in the last part, he says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. The reason why he said that is because he does not know the full reason why Jesus is coming to the earth. Huh? So let's go ahead. I mean, it is very interesting how if you just look at the word for what it says, there's so much, there's nothing confusing about the Bible, especially if you're already in the spirit. Just pray to Jesus. He'll give you the understanding. And some people may say that I'm interpreting this totally wrong, but I would ask them to give me a better acknowledgement of this.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. You know how we do it here. You know how we do it. And I know that's not proper grammar, but as we go and we look at the last part of the scripture, in verse 9 he says that we see Jesus has been made just a little lower than the angels for the sacrificing of death, crowned it with the glory and the honor that he may be able, he may by the grace of God shall taste death for every man. Now, as we see the order that is coming, because as you look now, you don't think about this in a fleshly way. Think about Hebrews in a spiritual place. I mean, not on this dimension. I mean, in a higher dimension, okay? And say, these angels are talking among themselves. As you can see, we know that a human wrote this epistle. Some people said it was Paul. A lot of people don't really actually know. Some people said it was Luke. Who really knows? We're not sure, but it's in the Bible. And so that's why I'm not saying he or she who wrote the epistle, okay? Nobody really knows for sure. Okay, so as they are saying and divulging, this is what Jesus is going to do. Does not know the plan completely, but as you can see in verse 14, it says, for as such then as the children that partaketh of the flesh and the blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now, we know that they're talking about the communion when they're breaking the bread and drinking the wine. So that, in an earthly sense, he says, this is what I am coming to do. Then at the latter part of the sentence, it says that through death he might destroy him that is have the power of death, that is the devil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is another big lump of meat that you got to go and you got to kind of cut up a little bit and then gnaw on, okay? Because there's a lot compacted in there. We know that when Jesus was saying, because he says it in different scriptures, in Mark and Matthew and Luke, how he breaks the bread and said, this is my body that you eat. He gave him a cup and said, this is the blood that you shall drink. And it is a representation of Christ. Now, Christ had to give his flesh and blood. Okay, now we're talking about the body, and then the substance within him had to pour out. His spirit had went from his body to hell to take the keys of death. See, he had to go and take and destroy the devil who held the key. Now, he took whatever power that the people who were in bondage, which 15 says, and delivered them who their fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. At that point, when he died, those people that were in, as you would say, a hellish purgatory, was then either uplifted or they stayed. And then he goes on to say, the author goes on to say in 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of the angels, but took on the seed of Abraham. And this is why it gets very important that you can, that you follow the story, because it is specific why he says he took on the seed of Abraham. And in verse 18 it says, for in what that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Let, I'm looking up this word. The word to help, to assist, or in a specific time of difficulty. Two would be a person or a thing that provides help, to give aid to. And this is coming from thefreedictionary.com. There's other reference, the dictionaryreference.com. What else they have? They have other ones too, but I'm not going to get into that. So basically what he's saying is that he is going to give help to those who are tempted, because he knows what temptation is, because he's been tempted. I mean, and I know that's kind of easy for everybody to follow, but I just wanted to clarify that. That's why we're having Bible study, for those who didn't understand it.
Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
All right. Now, this is why I said this is it's for the Hebrews, and the manner of how it is written, it gets you to understand why, when Jesus came, gave the ability to the circumcised and the uncircumcised, the Jews and the Gentiles. Ladies and gentlemen, this, I mean, it gets really in a nitty-gritty. And when he goes and he's saying that Jesus was the high priest and also the apostle, and so was Moses appointed faithful into his house. And then in verse 3 it says, for this man who counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath built it, the house hath more honor than the house. Verse 4, it says, for every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. So let's put this in context, okay? Moses himself did what God asked him to do sometimes. We know Moses was not the perfect role model. I mean, let's be honest, because we read the Bible. We know that he questioned God a lot. And he was able to take the Israelites out of Egypt, bring them to the Holy Land, but Moses never got to go to the Holy Land. He seen it from the mountaintop. But he never got to go there. And so this is the imperfection, as as such as you could call it. But what he's saying is, listen, any man can build a house, but it's only through God that gives you the ability to do it. He says in verse 5, he says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, which he was. But Christ as the Son over his own house, whom chose are we, if we have fast the confidence and rejoicing in the hope from unto the end. And we know, for example, ladies and gentlemen, when in verse 8 it says, harden not your hearts as a provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, we know, and then and let me finish this real quick, and it says in verse 9, it says, when your fathers were tempted and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved when that generation, and they all erred in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Let's recall back those Israelites coming through from a miracle, seeing all the plagues, seeing everything happen to the Egyptians, walking across the Red Sea with the waters being parted, and they're still complaining. So God gave them shade, a cloud at night, and gave them light in the nighttime to lead their way to the promised land, gave them manna to eat. He gave them instructions. He gave them what they needed, gave them water, and they still were giving glory to the flesh. So this is the grievance that God or Jesus or Jehovah would say why he is having a grievance. So when they sent Jesus to do this, he's telling them, listen, I was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. I was in the wilderness. I know what temptation is. Okay, so I'm not going to get on the soapbox, but I just wanted to clarify that for those who may have missed that strong opening.
So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, when we were talking about Ephesians, how the basis is love, and then just to have a little faith, just a little bit. That's all he's requiring. He said, listen, they didn't even believe at all. I mean, it's kind of hard to say, well, they've seen all these miracles, but they didn't have any belief. I mean, that's, all right.
Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Okay, now, to me, this is very very touchy subject, because it is known that the American the calendar that we have today is not the calendar of old. And we have to understand that the Sabbath day was on a Saturday. That's why you have the Latter-day Saints of Saturday and all that stuff. It is very hard to try to explain to someone about the changing of that seventh day. The reason why Sunday is important is because for us, the seventh day is Sunday, which is not the truth. Sunday is not the seventh day. Saturday is the seventh day. And if we look at our culture right now, everybody, majority of the people who have either a green job or a blue-collar job or even a white-collar job, they work 7 days, I mean, they work 5 days a week, and they usually get the weekends off. And then we go to church on Sunday. And we've been doing this for generations. Now, is God going to count that against us? I mean, that's a question that we have to pray about and receive from God. But we have to understand that the Sabbath is on Saturday. I just want to make that known to everybody out there.
For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
Now, the one part that we have to look at, I'm going to just briefly talk about the last two verses here. He was talking about 19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. A lot of people could, you know, debate exactly what the veil is and what the veil is not. I would say the veil would be for those who do not understand or have been through baptism to understand the fullness of the schemes of the devil. I mean, you don't have to be baptized to understand that. But once you are born again in Christ, the veil is lifted, which is in Mark. I mean, which is in Matthew. And so, that to me, that's very, very a very pivotal verse, because when people talk about what is hope, and to me, this is a clear definition of what hope is. And if you could take your soul and turn around and look at it, you could see all the blemishes that you have. But as long as you still have faith and hope and believe, you shall enter into the veil and you will see everything that Jesus is showing you. Now, what they're saying in this particular passage in 6 is that God has come down and tore that away. He is ministering to the people of the flesh, knowing that they're going to go through some hard times, but we have the power we have the power to partake in what the Lord is giving us.
Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
Mm-hmm.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear, and will not repent, Thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth...
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. Once again, he is explaining to the Gentiles, he's pretty much the author of this epistle, is explaining to the Gentiles of the order of the Jews. And as we know that Moses have given different tribes, that was given to him from God, their roles, we know that the Levites were of the priesthood. And what they're saying in this part right here in chapter 7 is that Melchizedek was also a priest, but he was not in the line of the Levites. And Melchizedek was the first to give a tenth of his offering unto God. And so what the author is trying to say is, if Melchizedek was not in the line of the Levites, and he did something that was not lawful, when Jesus came, he also was subject to the law, but also changed the law because he was not under the tribe of the Levites. He was in the tribe of Judah. And so we know that in Judah, the tribe of Judah is, you know, Daniel's tribe. I messed that up. I was thinking about David, but David is part of Benjamin. But Judah was the lowest of all tribes, and Jesus came out of that tribe. And what they were saying was that Jesus was the number one priest, as it reads, verse 24, it says, but this man became, he continuous even hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost of the cometh unto God by him, seeing his everlasting to make intercessory for them. And as we know, what intercessory is being able to be a buffer for the people that are not sitting up their prayers. For example, if you know that, for example, look at Job. Job gave an intercessory prayer for his children every day and every night because he wasn't aware if their children was praying. Those type of things is an example of intercessory prayer that's given in the Bible. So Jesus was giving us intercessory prayer while he was still on earth. And so that was, I hope I explained it enough that people can understand that. So while I have time later, I'll go through and explain that part. If you need
not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. Hebrews 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said.
Okay, we'll stop right there because for those who don't understand that, I know it seems like you should get it, but if you don't understand that, what verse 7 was talking about, the first covenant became falseless. The first covenant that was given to Abram. Then God changed his name to Abraham. The second covenant that he is referring to is the covenant that will be fulfilled when Jesus comes to save us to break the law, okay? And so this law itself is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because this is one of the main reasons why majority of the Jewish Orthodox Jews who don't believe in Christ. And then there's the Christian Jews who believe in Christ. Christ was the Savior. So when the first covenant was with Abram, the second covenant was with Jesus Christ coming back to break the law. And so the distinction of the two is what they're saying here is in verse one. It says, "Now of those things in which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary, and the truth of the tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serves unto the example and the shadows of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle." Okay, so that part right there is saying all the high priests, all the Pharisees and Sadducees, those individuals, they are stricken by the law of the land on earth. And they continue to go by the Torah, and they believe in the Torah. They offer gifts and sacrifices regardless of what sacrifice it could be. It could be a blood offering. It could be a sin offering. It could be a vegetable offering, grain offering. It doesn't matter. But those priests, or the Sadducees or Pharisees, are subjected to the laws on earth. Now, all they had to do was believe in Jesus being Jesus Christ, who will destroy the old law and make the new law. Which they are saying is Jesus cannot be contained in this earthly offering gifts and sacrifices, because we get that gift to give to him. So he is above all things. So no longer is he subjected, or are we subjected to giving gifts and sacrifices based on the old law. And the old law would be the Torah, of how Moses was constructed of the tabernacle, according to verse 5. Okay?
"And behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away."
That's very beautiful. So the latter part of this chapter, he is explaining to you the covenant. In verse 10, he says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will do this, I will do to them as God, and they shall be to me as people." Ladies and gentlemen, what he is saying is, back in the day let me go to verse 11 so that I can explain it better. Verse 11 says, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, and said, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Now, we have to remember, back then, the only people who could read the scribes or the Torah were people of position. There were some, every child had to remember a certain part of the Torah. But they were only given to the privileged. And so not everyone had the ability to know God because it was only read by the Pharisees. So when the Pharisees read the scriptures, they knew the scriptures. And so God, when Jesus came down, he says, listen, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to go by it. I don't want the people of lesser in the slums, in the lower part. That's why he came back as a carpenter's son, to feel like they would not know God. He said, I want to write it in their minds and in their hearts so they'll know that I'm their God, and they shall know that I'm with them as their people. And so in verse 13, as they ended, they said, in that I said, a new covenant has he has made it the first old, and now that with decayeth and the waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So all those scrolls that they're talking about, the Torah, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that the Old Testament, or the Torah, as the Jewish people refer to, is still a valid doctrine, as well as the Old Testament. You can't just say, well, Jesus came, we got to forget the Old Testament, because the Bible itself works as a working, live word. And so you may get revelations in the New Testament to refer back to the Old Testament, or vice versa. So remember that the Bible as a whole is still a living word, still a living doctrine.
Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. But there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained.
Okay, now, this is very important part of the description of the tabernacle, because when Moses set up the tent, only him and Aaron could go in it, period. That's the only two people who could go into the Holy of the Holiest parts of the tent, which would be the second part. And this is what they're referring to. Now, it is very important to understand, in verse 5, he says, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. The reason why they can't speak of it is because it is so pure and holy, if you were to come upon it, you shall surely die. I mean, you get that out of Genesis and Exodus. You get it out of Exodus when it's made. So, just I asked you to revisit first what a cherubim is, and then find out exactly what is the mercy seat. That's a little homework for you, ladies and gentlemen out there. Here we go.
The priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a...
Okay, so I had to stop it there so I can explain this to you. The reason why once a year, it is basically the same thing as Passover. So basically that's what it's for, Passover. And so now Aaron and Moses would go in, and they would make a sacrifice, and then they would sprinkle the blood over the people, for the people, make a sacrifice for the people, and then they would spread the blood over the people once they left the tabernacle, because at that point in time, when they didn't pray like we know to pray, these Israelites anyway, because they were heathens. Because we know that at this time people are praying, but not on a consistent basis as we know of today. And so in that one sense, because they did not have the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit did not exist, they had to pay homage to the Holy Spirit. And that's why in verse 8 it says the Holy Ghost, this signified that the way into the holiness of all was not yet made manifest. That means that Jesus had to come back, give up the Holy Spirit. Once he gave up the Holy Spirit, then it would reign forever on earth. But right now, the Holy Spirit is still in heaven with God at this point before, in the time of Moses and of Aaron. Just to clarify that for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Okay, so I just want to point out the latter part of this as well. If you notice, in this specific part, they keep saying Christ was once offered. Christ was once in the end of the world. Once. What he was referring to was the fact that instead of offering up goats and calves and all these different things for the Holy Spirit, when Jesus came down and offered himself, all he had to do was spill his blood once. That's all it took. It didn't take many sacrifices for Jesus to do. He did it one time, descended to hell, got the keys, and then ascended to heaven. If you notice, the reason why God does not like sacrifices, which the devil does, and we talk about this on the show, is why blood is so important, is because the blood has power. The blood gives us grace. The blood gives us mercy. The blood gives us the ability to have the Holy Spirit and the redemption that we can go and say, Lord, forgive us for our sins, and he will abide by the covenant that he has made for us. Now, on the other hand, the devil requires blood as well. But we're not going to talk about that. We'll talk about it on another time when we talk about blood sacrifices.
Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect, but then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 12. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest.
Okay, just a quick insert about Esau. Esau and Jacob were brothers. They were actually twins. Esau was first out of the womb, and Jacob grabbed his heel, and later his name became Israel. But because Esau was a hunter, he used to catch food for the family, meat. He's a great hunter, and Jacob stayed at home, he made stew. And so one day he was stewing his food, and Esau was so hungry, he says, I would do anything for some food. And he said, well, give me your birthright. He says, okay, whatever, just fix it to me. And at that point, Esau lost his birthright, and that's what they were
saying. And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven,
right,
whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you with few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for hanging in there with me. I did not speak for the last four chapters because to me they were very self-explanatory. If you have any questions, you can always feel free to ask me. There was a comment that was brought up by Patriot Greg, who said that that the Sabbath, he made a comment about the Sabbath, and he said that the Sabbath is a day of rest, not a day of the week. And he also said that I said it's because the Jews rest on Saturday because it's the Sabbath. And then he said, well, that's their choice. And he said, if you work 6 days and rest on the seventh, you fulfill the Sabbath. And then he says for me to check the fourth commandment. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at that, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, because this is what it's about. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything about the Bible. Can't say that. But we're going to pull up Genesis so the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay. According to this, it says the Sabbath is a rest from work or a break, often lasting from 2 months to a year. The concept of Sabbath is the source of description of several places in the Bible. Leviticus 25, it says, Leviticus 25. Why would they give me something like this? Okay. It says in Leviticus 25, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses at Mount Seir, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I have you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto them. 6 years thus shall sow the fields, and 6 years, But in the seventh year shall be the Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thus shall never sow thou wheat, nor plunge thou vineyard. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, and thus, okay, because we know that one. Now, God specifically is telling them about their their time. Let's see. Leviticus 5:40 says, "But as the hired servants and the sojourn, he shall be with thee and should serve thee unto the year of Jubilee." This is what I was referring to as far as the when they came out of Egypt, they were to do what they called the Jubilee, which would be the Passover, as we know it. So, let's see here. Let's see, so Leviticus 20. So excuse me, I'm searching for this. You know, I love to get my information right. I don't want to mislead anybody. Okay, so the it's Exodus, the Ten Commandments is Exodus 20. I didn't know that right off the top of my head. But we have talked about the commandments on the show. So we'll go to verse 8 through 11. It says, observe the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Work 6 days and do everything you need to do. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work, not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servant, nor your maid, nor your animals, not even the foreigners, guests visiting you in your town. For in 6 days God made the earth, heaven, earth, and the sea, and everything in it. He rests on the seventh. Therefore, God blessed the seventh, the Sabbath day. He set it apart as a holy day. Now, let's look at, and I'm doing this very, very meticulously because it's very important to understand. When we talk about the movement of the calendar, when we talk about what day is the Sabbath day and what day is a regular day, let's look at the fact that, you know, our calendar year has changed tremendously from the time that our brethren has come through this. So, we will have, I mean, I want to go back to Genesis. Let's wait. Okay, so Okay, so this I'm getting this from Wikipedia, and I don't know y'all thinking Wikipedia, but you know, let me look at this real quick. It says that the Sabbath is generally a weekly day of rest or time of worship. It is observed differently in the Arabic religion to affirm several occasions in several parts of practice. Although many points of view and definitions have arisen over the millennia, most originated in the same textual tradition. The term has been used to describe several weekly observations in many other traditions, like the new moon and other seven annual festivals, like Judaism and Christianity traditions. The eighth annual pagan festival, usually Sabbath, are annual cycle holidays and the year that rests in the religion or the cycle used originally in the seventh year. The Sabbath day, it was first mentioned in Genesis, the creation novelty, where the seventh day is the day of aside for the day of rest and made to be holy by God. Observation and remembrance of the seventh day in the Tenth Commandments. The fourth in the original Jewish and the Eastern Orthodox and most Protestant traditions, and the third in Roman Catholic and the Lutheran traditions. Most people who observe the Sabbath regard it as having been instituted in a predominantly covenant in the Israelites as a sign of respecting two events during which God rests after having it been completion of the creation in 6 days. Let's get down to, let's see here. Okay, the Jewish religion, this is the Jewish religion, they practice, is the weekly day of rest observed from sundown on Friday and appears 3 stars in the sky on Saturday night. So so theirs is from Friday night to Saturday night. That's their observation. Our Christian belief is that it says in Christianity, both of these observe seventh day on the Sabbath, and those who observe the first day of the Sabbath consider themselves Sabbatarians regarding the Sabbath of the Lord's Day. Each group believes that the position that was taught by the Bible, similar to others who have a strong Sabbath principle, including the Kirkenals, which comes out of 1 Corinthians, Revelations 1:10, is taken either as the first day of the week, weekday on which John was raptured in the spirit, or the seventh day, or the seventh millennium Sabbath unto which he had raptured. Similar, the word Sunday is variously both disapproved and recalling pagan. That's what I'm thinking. It is also is both disapproved as calling pagan sun worship that day on and approved and adopted taken by Christ as the son of the righteous. They have a scripture of Ezekiel 16:18. It says, "He that brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord and has entered into the temple between the patio and the altar, which both 25 men which were back towards the temple of the Lord and their face towards the east, they were bowing down to the sun in their east. He said, have you seen this, son of man? Is it a trivial matter that people of Judah to do the distasteful things that are being done here? Must they also fill the land with violence and continuation of rowing of my anger? Look at them putting the branch of their nose. Therefore I will deal with them in anger, and I will not look on them with pity or spare them. Although they shout in my ear, I will not listen to them. And so that is the reference in which people say that is the sun worship thing. Okay, and it said the solar deities or solar god, sun god or goddess. Let's see here. We already know about all that. Let's move down here. We don't want to see Christianity. Let's see, Christians associated with the sun through Christmas also occurs in the winter solstice. The Antichos Theolus point out of the connection between many of supposed events of the New Testament to the phenomena of the sun, in which it makes the biblical Jesus more of a solar riddle. And that's what they said about Christianity. I mean, we can go on and on about that part, but as I said, I do not believe that. I'm gonna have to do some more research on it and get with you, ladies and gentlemen, because you know I don't like putting out false information that I have not really had time to look at. But I don't believe that our day of rest is based off of what we know as Christianity today as being the Sabbath, and that's only because you have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the calendar days are not the same as back when the apostles were here, when Jesus was around. They have the Roman Catholic Church has completely changed it, and as we have in our own space and time, know that the United States government has shifted the time of work days so we can work longer. Now, why do we need to work longer when Jesus tells us to rest? You know, but so that is my idea and my looking at. I am not putting this in stone, but this is how I believe, and I do believe that we should have to take a look at how the dynamics of that calendar plays into the workforce. Now, I mean, if we say that the Sabbath is on Saturday, then technically that we wouldn't have a 2-day weekend, would we? No, we wouldn't, because now we're saying that Monday, we're saying that Sunday and Monday is now the weekend. You see, the Sunday and Monday is the weekend, and then everything, and then it would not be a very lucrative way of working. I mean, if you think in that context. And so them making it Monday through Friday is an easy way to say, hey, listen, we got the weekend for Sunday, Saturday and Sunday now. Saturday and Sunday, here's your thing. But I thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out and listening to this broadcast and having a great worship time with me and listening to the words of God. And if you have any questions regarding anything I have said, please go back and listen to it again. Email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com or tag me on Facebook at george.mango.904 or soundoff97413. You can follow me at Twitter at soundoff 97413, that hashtag thing. I don't know how that Twitter thing really works. But I want to once again give honor to God. Thank you for the ability to be able to do this show and to be able to give these type of Bible studies that not only reach those who want to know the Word, but also can interact with the Word. Because we know that God is not dead, He is living. So I would like to close it out with prayer. Lord, Lord God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Without you, our Heavenly Father, that nothing can be done. We cannot even move, nor think, nor even love, Lord God. You have given us an ability a little below the angels, O God, to be able to do the things that you ask us to do, Lord God, to have a little bit of love and a little bit of faith, Lord God. It will carry us through that anything that we ask you right now because of your spirit, that the blood that was flowing, that was spilt for us, would give us the opportunity to pray for forgiveness one time, and it will be gone, Heavenly Father. We thank you right now for the ability that you have given us, Lord God, to wake up in the right mind, to wake up and give love, to give thanks, to give reverence to our family, to our friends, to those who carry us and encourage us each and every day, Lord God. We ask you that this word that we heard, Lord God, be transmitted into our conscious, Lord God, that we may be sink into our brains, into our spirits, into our hearts, that we may lock it away and be able to use it in a time of need, so that we may be able to fight the wiles of the devil and having all done to stand. This is Sign Off Farms. I'm George Beverly. God bless you. Good night.